Hello, you are listening to a bonus mini episode of the Call of Nature podcast. We are a UK-based grassroots podcast about nature, wildlife, and the environment. And I'm joined today by Pete. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Chris.
So this is a really powerful story told to us by Alison Harris when we spoke recently, and here it is.
Now, as you'll have gathered, dear listener, we at the Call of Nature believe that nature has tremendous benefits for well-being. Of course, lots of other things have benefits for well-being, and we're going to speak to somebody today who knows a lot more about that than we do, and that's Alison Harris, who is a holistic well-being coach. You can find Alison at Alison, that's A-L-I-S-O-N, the regular way of spelling Alison, Alison Harris Wellbeing, and that's Instagram. Is it just Instagram, Alison?
It's also Facebook. Yeah, I've got a Facebook page too.
Great, great. And you've also got a blog, haven't you? Where can people find that?
I have, yeah, on my website, which is just www.alisonharriswellbeing.co.uk. So, yeah, I do some blogs on there too.
Great, great. Thank you for clarifying that. And thank you, Alison, for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Hi, Alison.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
So Pete's been telling me a lot about you, and I've had a look at some of your social media, but I'd be really interested, and I think our listeners would be too, if you could tell us your story and how you got to do what you're doing now.
Sure, yeah. Well, my story really began in June 2010 when I was unexpectedly diagnosed with breast cancer. And up to that point, you know, I'd been leading a very busy life, like many people, and especially most women. I was, you know, living the life of a superwoman, doing everything. And I was a full-time lecturer at the time. And so this came out of the blue, and I was really shocked and scared. So part of my treatment plan was to have about 9 months of treatment of surgery, chemotherapy, radiotherapy. And I was advised not to go to work during that time. So I took the 9 months off. And that gave me the chance to, I suppose, get off the treadmill and put my life on pause. And for me, it was really important to answer the question, why me? You know, I believe everything happens for a reason. And you know, it wasn't a genetic condition. So I wanted to know why me. And one of the first things that I discovered was that I'd been chronically stressed on and off for probably years, and that this chronic stress had crept up on me, and I had all the signs and symptoms but just didn't recognize them because it had become the normal for me. So when I looked into that, I realized that chronic stress is not a natural state. It's not where we should be. And that one of the things it does is it downgrades our immune system, and that eventually that will lead to some sort of disease or disorder. So for me, making changes to my life was about really reducing stress. And when I look back now, I realize that the changes that I made were all about living a more natural life, and that, you know, modern life is not very natural. And so, you know, the things I did were things like started to eat more healthily, more plant-based, more organic, less processed food. And, you know, that all helped. But also I started to slow down. And about 4 years later, I actually left teaching altogether and took a couple of years out to study. You know, I wanted to find out more and more about how I could reduce my risk of getting sick again and reduce my stress levels. And so I studied nutritional therapy, and I also studied NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, or the study of how our thoughts and beliefs and language drive our emotions. And those things include stress and anxiety. And that actually we're not at the mercy of these, that we can actually reframe our minds to change how we think and how we therefore feel. And that, pardon the pun, but that blew my mind. And so I went on and studied NLP further. I became a practitioner, a master practitioner, and went on to train as a coach and a trainer. And so after 2 years of study, I thought I felt so much better in myself. My life had changed quite dramatically and my well-being had improved. So I thought I need to share this with other people. And I really wanted to help other people to get this same sense of well-being that I was experiencing, you know, without them having to go through some terrible disease or disorder before they found this. So about 3 years ago, I became self-employed, and that's when I became a well-being coach. And so that's what I do now. I do one-to-one coaching. I help people, particularly that are in that sort of state of stress, anxiety, and stuck in that state, and help them to lead a more natural life. And you know, my nutritional training comes into it as well. And so I give people advice on nutrition, and I also do workshops and talks, you know, around the same thing really, in sort of reducing stress and increasing well-being. So yeah, that's where I am now, and that's how I got here, really.
Have you been able to continue doing your workshops online during lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the workshops and things that I was doing live stopped in March, and so I'm gradually I'm sort of moving onto an online platform, because you know it was reluctantly to start with. I like being in front of people, and I'm a people person, but actually, one of the things I realised is that doing things online, I can reach a wider audience, and I'm not, you know, I'm not confined to being in Lincoln or even being in the UK. And so, because I have this passion for you know, getting my message out there and helping as many people as I can, then you know that's where the online thing can really help. So you know, the lockdown thing was quite helpful in terms of helping me to recognise that.
It's such a great story what you're doing. I'm interested to hear about the part that nature might have played. Do you think nature played a part in your recovery?
It was absolutely huge. And you know, going back to 2010, I was so busy, and so busy doing things that I now know are not that important, really. that I'd lost, like many, many people, and you know, this is nobody's fault, it's just the way life has evolved. And you know, we've got such busy lives, and one of the things that does when we're so busy is it disconnects us with nature. And that was certainly me. You know, I wouldn't have noticed birdsong, I wouldn't have noticed you know, a beautiful flower in a hedgerow, nothing like that. I was just too focused on other stuff. And suddenly, when I was off sick, I was able to get off that treadmill and focus on me and getting well. And for some reason, I just instinctively knew that one of the things that I had to do was to be in nature. And it wasn't because it wasn't a conscious thing. It wasn't oh, nature's really good for you, therefore. It was nothing like that at all. It was really instinctive. And one of the things that I discovered was I was told before the start of my chemotherapy treatment, I was told, don't do any gardening. Your immune system will be low. It will be compromised. And therefore, you know, gardening could be something you could pick up infections, that kind of thing. So, you know, probably avoid that for the time being. And I was never much of a gardener anyway. But when I was told that, I just thought, oh, somehow that doesn't feel right. It just didn't feel right. And I don't know whether it's because I've always been a bit of a rebel, and when people tell me not to do something, I want to do it or not. I don't know. But I just ignored that, and I did do gardening, and it felt really cathartic to be out there doing things, because this was sort of autumn leading into winter of 2010, to be cutting back and pruning and, you know, just sort of cutting out dead wood and it just felt the right thing to do with that part of my healing journey. And the more I did it, the more I felt really calm. Because, you know, if I'm trying to avoid being stressed and going through chemotherapy treatment, the two don't really go hand in hand. So, you know, it felt like the right thing to do to counteract those feelings of stress with going through my treatment. And so the more I did this and the more I was outside, the more I started to notice nature. On my days when I felt well enough, I'd just get my wellies on and I would just get wrapped up and walk and walk and walk. And we've got some lovely parks and nature reserves close by. I love being near water. So I would just go out there. And of course, in the winter, there's something about being in nature in the winter. It feels so calming and quiet.
Yeah.
And I just noticed what effect it was having on me long before I learned about the effect of being out in nature on our well-being. And so that was the start of it, and I just continued that more and more. And of course then the more I got into researching, the more I realized that actually, you know, we are all part of nature. We are nature, and yet we disconnect ourselves and we think we can do things without that. And that just leads to a path of ill health, whether it's mentally or physically. And so for us to stay well, we need to reconnect. And this was my wake-up call. Having cancer was my wake-up call for me to reconnect. And I started doing that, you know, more and more. And then, of course, then I started to find out that actually, you know, being in nature boosts our immune system. And, you know, how important is that right now? That you know, when we are out in nature, we breathe in the stuff that nature gives out, and it produces extra killer T cells in our bodies, natural killer cells, which are our immune system boosting cells. So that was a real revelation to me. And then also it releases endorphins. And you know, when we're releasing the hormones of stress and calm, we can't release stress hormones at the same time. When one happens, the other one shuts off. So we're automatically reducing stress.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's ongoing. And recently as last Friday, I did my first cold water wild swim.
Oh, wow.
In the Lake District. I went with a friend. That was so out of my comfort zone. I don't like cold water. You know, I won't even have a cold shower. So to do something like that and be in a beautiful space.
I would struggle to be persuaded to jump into a cold lake. But I can sort of psychologically, I can see the benefits of pushing myself outside of the comfort zone and having that. That's almost like quite an extreme nature experience, isn't it?
It was certainly extreme for me. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. That's really interesting.
Well, Alison, it's great to hear how you moved past the challenging time and everything that you've built out of it and everything that you've learned. And it's a real reminder to everybody that it's a good idea to get out there into nature, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I've really enjoyed talking to you guys as well.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed chatting to you as well, Alison. It's been good fun.
Thank you very much for joining us, Alison.
Ah, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Well, there we go, listeners. I told you that was going to be a really powerful story. And Pete, what did you think about that?
Yeah, I agree, Chris. Well, like I said to Alison, it was good to hear how she turned such a difficult situation into such a list of positives. And I mean, you and I, we're guys that go out in nature just because we love it out there already, don't we? But it doesn't hurt to know how much good it's doing us. You know, I was really interested to hear about how it boosts your T cells, for example. Did you know that, Chris?
No, no, I didn't. No,
yeah.
I'm with you. It's great because we know that it makes us feel better, but it's nice to hear some of the sort of science behind it. And I'm really glad that, you know, it had such a positive effect on Alison and helped her with her, you know, getting back to wellness.
Yeah, I agree. So thank you once again, Alison, for joining us. We really do appreciate you telling us and everybody else your story. And also thanks to you listeners for having a listen.
Yeah, and we'll be back with season two of the Call of Nature podcast, which is going to be coming out on the 14th of October. That's right, isn't it, Pete?
That is right, mate.
Yes. Yeah, so we've started recording season two already. So hopefully you'll be able to come and download that when it comes out on the 14th.
That's right, mate. Well, thanks again, folks. See you next time.